Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Kuf Zayin. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Gemara will be beginning from the upper part of Daf Kuf Zayin, about 9 lines from the top. You'll notice in the space between the Gemara text and the Rashi, a Maisa. The word Maisa is encircled, and there's a vertical dashed line that follows it, indicating that the following lines of Gemara that are opposite this vertical dashed line form this incident. Before we get into the Gemara itself, let's take a look at our topic heading in the outside margin, the Nosei. In our marked Gemaras, the Shas Ozer, we provide topic headings and structural notes, Nosei and Mivneh headings. In this case, the Nosei, Havdolah al Chamar Medina. The recitation of Havdalah over what's called Chamar Medina, which will be called, we would loosely translate as a popular beverage. That's in a given locale, depending, it may change from place to place, but in a given locale, if they use or they drink a certain type of beverage in a rather popular fashion, that could be categorized as Chamar Medina. Turning to the Gemara. Amri le Maryanuka Markshisha Breder Chisda l'Rav Ashi. Maryanuka and Markshisha, the sons of Rav Chisda, said to Rav Ashi the following: Zimno chada iklo ameimar la'asrin. On one occasion, ameimar iklo came to our town. We have triangles in this section of Gemara. They're explained under the Mivneh heading in the outside margin. The triangles are Bikurei Ameimar, the visits, the visitations of Ameimar. We're going to see in 2 years, one after the other, how Ameimar comes to their place. And the double underline with the dots in it represents a repeat factor, a repeat incident here, that each time he came, there was no wine in that location. And the expression that we've dashed underlined in the Gemara is V'lo havalon chamra, we didn't have any wine there. So the Gemara continues. They mentioned that the sons of Rav Chisda reported to Rav Ashi that Ameimar visited their town. V'lo havalon chamra, we didn't have wine in town. And the issue concerns Havdalah right now, so there was no wine available for Havdalah. Aisino le shichra. You'll see we squiggle underline this expression so that you can compare it with the repeat idea a couple lines from now. We brought to him shichra beer, velo avdil, and he refused to make Havdalah. Ubos tovas. Bos tovas means he slept. Bos is to sleep. He slept in a state of fasting. In other words, he didn't make Havdalah, and therefore he did not eat, because in order to eat on Motzoi Shabbos, one must recite Havdalah beforehand. So since he didn't recite Havdalah, he went to sleep without eating. Lamochar, the next day, Torachno Vaisino Le Chamro. We troubled ourselves, we strained ourselves to find some wine, and we brought him wine, Va'avdil, V'toyimidi, he made Havdalah and ate something. And then ate. Lashona su iklo la'asrin. A year later, he came back to our town. Lo havalon chamra. And the same scenario unfolded. And we didn't have any wine. Aisino shichra. So we brought him beer. Omar. Now, Ameimar realizes, since the same thing is happening again, and they automatically present beer for the Havdalah recitation, Omar, Ameimar concluded, I hochi chamor medina hu. If this be the case, the beer must be a popular beverage over here. And Avdil, and therefore he made Havdalah. v'toimidi, and he ate something that very Saturday night. The Rashbam points out that this idea of relying on chamar medina is acceptable, but it has to be noted that water does not fall under this category, and therefore, even if there's no wine nor beer in town, one is not to make havdalah over water. Shma mino atlas. From this story, we conclude 3 points of halacha. Number one, shma mino hamavdil b'tfila tzorech shiavdil al hakois. Here, the Rashbam doesn't explain, but we can base ourselves on what we've seen in an earlier Gemara in this perek, that it's most likely that Amemar had davened the Shmona Esrei of Motzoi Shabbos, and in the Shmona Esrei there is a paragraph that concerns Havdalah, a Havdalah paragraph in the Ato Chonein. It begins with the words Ato Chonantanu, and nevertheless, even though he most likely davened, he still was looking to make Havdalah over a cup of wine. So we see from here that even though one said Havdalah in his Shmona Esrei, in his tefillah, in his davening, in his prayers, he nevertheless makes Havdalah again over a cup of wine. Ushma mino, osur lo l'odom sheyochal kodem shavda. From this story, that we see that one is not allowed to eat before he makes Havdalah. And certainly we saw in the first stage of the story where Amemar didn't find wine and hence did not make Havdalah. He simply went to sleep without eating. Ushma mino, mi shelo hivdil moitzoi Shabbos, mavdil l'holech kol ha-Shabbos kulo. We see from this incident that there is an extension period for during which one can say Havdalah. As we saw in the first stage, where Amemar did not make Havdalah Saturday night, he made it Sunday morning. Even though the Gemara uses the expression kol ha-Shabbos kulo, which we saw in previous sugyas to mean that one has up till Wednesday, not including Wednesday, to recite Havdalah. From this story itself, Tosus points out you could only learn that you have an extension period till Sunday because that's what took place in the incident. However, the Gemara uses the expression of Kol HaShabbos Kulo because that's the way the halacha goes. And we saw that paskind earlier on this page. We saw this 4 lines from the top, where you see the dashed underlined expression Kol HaShabbos Kulo. At this point, there's a slash in the Gemara indicating that which follows is a new idea. Bo mine Rav Chisda Merav Huna, mahu the kedushi ashichro. Can one make kiddush over a cup of beer? Rashbam points out, given that you're in a situation where there is no wine, does beer serve? Can beer serve as an alternative? Omar. So Rav Huna, who was asked the question, responds as follows. He says, Hashta, uma, pirzuma, uteini, v'asni. These are different kinds of beverages. There's pirzuma is a beer made from barley. Te'ini is a beverage made from figs. V'asni, asni is a reference to the fruit that comes from the sne bush. These beverages are more choshuv than stam shechar, than standard beer. These are more choshuv, and yet what happened? Deboi minei me rav. This question was asked of Rav, namely kiddush on these beverages. For Rav me Rav Chia, and Rav asked of Rav Chia this question. Rav Chia me Rebbe, and Rav Chia turned to Rebbe with this question. V'lo poshat lei, and even though these are more significant, yet they did not receive a green light for making kiddush with these beverages. In other words, the question was not resolved, leaving them in a state of doubt about these beverages. Shichra mibaya, would there be any need to ask about shichra, which is a lesser quality thing? In other words, if they didn't get a green light to make kiddush with these more significant type beverages, then certainly they're not going to get a green light, an okay for making kiddush with stam, with your average shechar. Savor mina, there was a thought that kiddushehu delomik shinon iluya, that okay, kiddush we won't recite over it, over the shechar. Aval avduli mavdalinon, but havdalah could be made Havdalah could be made using the beer, according to Rav. Rav appeared in this particular discussion. In other words, it's where Rav Huna had originally posed the question to Rav. Amar lahu Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda tells them, those who had this thought that Havdalah is, there's an option, beer is an option for Havdalah. So Rav Chisda told them, Hochi Amar Rav, thusly says Rav, Kishem she'ein mekachin olav, kach ein mavilin olav. Just like one will not make kiddush over the standard beer, thusly one will not make Havdalah using it. Itmar nami, Omar av tachlifo bar avimi, Omar Shmuel, Kishem she'ein mekachin olav, kach ein mavilin olav. And this halacha was said over in Shmuel's name the same way. Levi shodar le l'rav, Shichro bar Tlesar Magni. Levi sent to Rav this kind of beer. The Rashbam explains, this is a situation where one takes some water, pours it over dates. Dates were the substance for making the standard beer. The water, after being poured over the first batch of dates, was then poured over another batch of dates. And this was repeated 13 times. So it absorbed this, the liquid the subject of this story that Levi sent to Rav, was a liquid that was poured over 13 separate batches of dates. You can imagine that it became very sweet. Ta'ame, Rav tasted it. Hava bosim tuvo, it was very sweet. Omar, Rav said, "Kegoin ze roi lekadesh olav loimar olav kol shirois v'tushbachol sheba olam." Something like this is fitting to have kiddush recited over it, and fitting to have all the different types of songs and praises of the world recited over it. The story goes on, though. Balela tsaare. That very evening, after Rav drank this, he suffered from it. He had pains, or he had a loose bowels, as the Rashbam says. Omar, now Rav says, Miyasran Umefayas. There are different pirushim as far as this expression is concerned. The Rashbam offers his explanation, and the Rabban Yochananel has an alternative explanation. But looking at the Rashbam, the last of the narrow lines, it says, Miyasun ufais bitmiya, v'chi mishe metzayer. Could it be that something that causes pain, who roi hu lefayis vasas gosh bov lomor of kiddush, could it be mefayis, in this case to mean to appease or to say praise? So he's saying, at this point, something that causes such pain, could it possibly be fitting to have to be used for the reciting of kiddush over it? Omar of Yosef. Odur Barabim. Odur is an expression of neder, of a vow. A vow taken Barabim in the public, delo ishti shichra, that I won't drink beer. The idea of a vow in public involves the idea that this is it's a type of vow that cannot be rescinded. However, on a technical basis, Tosis points out that just because a vow is taken in public doesn't mean it cannot be undone. But nevertheless, Rav Yosef is demonstrating how he wanted to stay away from the beer. Omar Rava, Ishti Meizuryon, Velo Ishti Shichra. Another seeming exaggeration regarding the desire to distance oneself from beer. Rava says, I would rather drink the water in which flax are soaked, which becomes very, very disgusting, a very foul odor is associated with what we know as Mei Pishton. So he says, I prefer drinking that, and I'll drink that before I drink beer. Omar, the Omar Rava, another comment of Rava. You will see he is about to issue a curse. Teve shakyuse shichra man demekadesh ashichra. Let one's beverage be beer. He who recites Kiddush over beer. As you can see, that Rava just a moment before was quite reticent to drinking beer. Hence, he says that anyone who makes kiddush over beer, beer should be his beverage. Rav Ashkechei Rav Huna the Kodesh Hashichra. Rav noticed, or he met Rav Huna, and he saw Rav Huna making kiddush over beer, even though there was wine in that community. Omar Lei, Rav said, Shori Abo Lemikni Istiri Mishichra. It must be that you started to make money, you started to profit through the sales of beer, and hence beer is important to you, and therefore you are making kiddush over the beer. Of course, we saw Rav's opinion earlier, and you can see arrows to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text indicating where Rav had spoken up before. Therefore, Rav, upon seeing Rav Huna, arose a certain level of amazement to Rav that Rav Huna was making kiddush over beer. Tanu Rabbanan, Ein Mekachin Elo Al Hayayin, V'Ein Mevorchin Elo Al Hayayin. So this source is not very clear. The beginning is clear. It says kiddush is made only over wine, but the final part of the source says one does not make a brocha unless he's drinking wine. But that's not true. Otu Ashichra V'Amaya Mi Lo Mevorchin Olayhu Shehakol Nieh Bidvaro. Is it so that over beer and water one does not make a brocha of Shakol Nieh Bidvaro? Of course one makes a brocha like that. What does the source mean when it says Ein Mevorchin El Alayayin? Omar Abai Hochi Komar. Thusly, we are to understand the source. Ein Oimrim Hovei Kois Shel Brocha Levorech Elo Al Hayayin. One does not order a cup of beverage in order to recite blessings over it. Blessings meaning things like Kiddush and Havdalah and Sheva Brochas and Birchas Hamazon, all types of different brochas. One does not order a beverage in order to recite those kinds of brochas unless it's a cup of wine. Tanu Rabbanan, Ein Mekachin Al Hashechar. The first opinion is that one does not make Kiddush over beer. Mishum Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Amru Mekachin. In the name of Rabbi Elazar, it was said that one can make kiddush over beer. A second point, or as was a second section of this source, and that's indicated with the Roman numeral number 2, refers to a halacha that we've seen earlier that said that one that when kiddush is made, the kiddush must be tasted from, whether it be the person who actually recited the kiddush or one of the listeners. So regarding that, the source deals with the quantity that must be drunk from the kiddush cup, namely the amount of wine that must be drunk after hearing the kiddush. Matimas yayin, matimas from the word litom or to'am, literally the tasting of the wine, but it means the drinking of the wine after kiddush, after hearing kiddush. One opinion is kolshu. Even an infinitesimally small amount is sufficient. Rabbi Yossi Be'uda Omer Maloi Lugmov, literally a cheekful. The shiur, the quantity of Maloi Lugmov, is sometimes explained as Rov Revius, the majority of a Revius. Omer Rav Huna, Omer Rav, V'chein Toni Rav Gidol Demin Narash, Hamekadesh V'to'a Malo Lugmov Yotza V'im Lav Lo Yotza. One who makes kiddush and then drinks from it this quantity called Malo Lugmov has thereby fulfilled his obligation. But if not, if he hasn't drunk that quantity, Lo Yotza, he has not fulfilled his kiddush requirement. Omar of Nachma B'Yitzchak Ano Taninolo. I taught over this source in the name of Rav Gidol. A moment ago, you noticed an underlined Rav Gidol de Min Narash. The Rav Gidol referred to was identified as Rav Gidol, the Rav Gidol from Narash. Now, Rav Nachman Rabbi Yitzchok says, I taught over the source in the name of Rav Gidol, but I didn't mention which Rav Gidol. Lo Gidol Bar Minashio, Velo Gidol Bar Minyumi, Elo Gidol Stama. I said over the source in the name of Rav Gidol, but I didn't say which Rav Gidol. Lamai Nafgamina, of what difference does it make to us how specific you are in citing which Rav Gittel it is? Answer, Lemirmo dide adide. If one is specific in citing the source, and then one sees another comment of Rav Gittel that would contradict, so if we know which Rav Gittel said both points, if it happens to be the same individual, and the second point of information contradicts the first, that would constitute an absolute contradiction. If, however, we're unsure of which Rav Gittel said what point, so that you might see two teachings in the name of Rav Gittel, but they may be different Rav Gittels. Hence, it doesn't necessarily constitute a contradiction in a particular opinion, but rather it may be two different Rav Gittels who are entitled to their two different opinions. The Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek had mentioned that on Arvei Pesachim, a person should not eat samuch lemincha. The expression of samuch lemincha is not clear, and the Gemara wants to clarify what is meant by the time samuch lemincha. One will benefit by using the chart that accompanies this sugya that demonstrates the different times. By the way, this same chart appeared at the we included this at the beginning of the perek on Daf Tzadi Tes Amud Beis at the bottom of the page. Ibayaloh samuch lemincha gedoyla tnan oidilmo samuch lemincha ktana tnan. The time of the Mishnah that said arvei psachim samuch lemincha lo yochal, is it samuch lemincha gedola, which would be mincha gedola itself is 12:30 on our chart, 12:30 at the very beginning of the afternoon. So samuch lemincha gedola would mean even before that, let's say 12 o'clock. Let's say one would not be allowed to start a meal. Odilma, or maybe the Mishnah is restricting the beginning of a meal, samuch lemincha ktana, which mincha ktana itself on the chart is 3:30 in the afternoon, and samuch lemincha ktana, we could say, would be from 3 o'clock in the afternoon. One should not start a meal. The Gemara now goes over these two time periods with an explanation of what consideration there may be in restricting eating from these two different times. The Gemara goes over it now. Samuch lemincha gedola tnan, is the restriction of starting a meal from samuch lemincha gedola umishum pischa dilma osi lemimshach ve osi limnuye milevet pischa. Pesach is a reference to the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach was to be slaughtered in the afternoon of the 14th of Nisan. If one starts a meal at samuch lemincha, let's say at 12 o'clock, he may continue his eating, and that's what the Gemara means, osi lemimshach, he'll be drawn into his meal and continue the meal, and he'll come to osi lemnuye, at the top of Amud Beis, the Gemara says osi lemnuye, he'll come to be restrained or withheld from processing the Pesach. Very simply, he'll be so occupied with the meal that he began at noontime, and he'll be drawn into a long meal and end up not doing the Korban Pesach. Oy Dilma, samuch lemincha ktana tnan. Or it may be that one is prevented from doing, from starting a meal at the samuch lemincha ktana time period, which would be at the end of the ninth hour of the day, which on the clock would appear to be 3 o'clock. Why should one not start a meal at that time? That's already a different consideration. It's umishum matzah, because of the desire to have matzah eaten with a level of desirability and appetite. And if he has a meal, if he starts a meal at 3 in the afternoon of Erev Pesach, Dilma osi lemichla lematzo achila gasa, that when it comes to eating the matzah at night, at the Seder night, he'll already be full from the meal that he ate Erev Pesach, and his eating of matzah will be classified as achila gasa, which without translating that, it means for us he'll be eating it without any desire. In many other sukkahs, achila gasa would refer to a type of achila where one is already stuffed and any subsequent eating would just cause him pain. But for our purposes, it's sufficient that we say that he'll be full from the Erev Pesach meal, and when it comes to his eating of the matzah, he'll be eating it without any desire. So the question has been raised, when the Mishnah says Arvei Psochim Somoch Lemincha Lo Yochal, which time is it? Is it from 12 o'clock that he should not start, or from 3 o'clock that he should not start? Omar Ravina, Toshma. Before we go on in the Gemara, notice to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, we have a tuf that's encircled. This is a teretz. This represents a long answer marking, so that all of the lines opposite this vertical dashed line constitute the answer. Omar Ravina, Toshma. Ravina attempts to answer the question from the following source. The source describes a king in the second Beis HaMikdash period. His name was Agrippus. And this king did not eat in the morning hours. His first meal was after 2 in the afternoon. We call B'shah Chiyas, or the term this Brisa uses is B'teisha Shos. The end of Teisha Shos is 3 in the afternoon. So B'teisha Shos, during the ninth hour, would be the time that on the clock that would appear 2 in the afternoon. So this source says, Afilu Agrippas HaMelech Shu Rogil Lecho B'teisha Shos, he was accustomed to eating his first meal at 2 in the afternoon, Oiso Hayom Erev Pesach Lo Yochal Ad Shetechshach, that even someone like Agrippas HaMelech, when it comes to Erev Pesach, he should not eat until darkness, until the Seder night. E amris bishlamo somoch lemincha ktana tnan. If you say that the time that one is not allowed to start a meal is the somoch lemincha ktana, hainu rabuse d'agrippus. Then we see the chiddush of Agrippus, that the source says even Agrippus. If we look in the Rashbam, you'll notice Rabuse d'Agrippus, Klomar, Hainu Rabuse. This is the Chiddush, the novel point, the Katoni Bebraiso, that it says Afilu Agrippus. That the Braiso says, even Agrippus, it's trying to tell me a Chiddush. The Avagav the Adayin Lo Ochal, even though he hasn't eaten anything. Uzman Isuro Lo Moto Akati Bisho Chias Adla Achar Tisha. And the time of eating. Restraint, prohibition of eating, in his case, has not actually arrived. It doesn't arrive, the time doesn't arrive, according to this approach, until 3 o'clock. Afilu hochi lo yochal. Even so, even though we're talking about prior to the actual time prohibition, we're talking about 2 o'clock, afilu hochi lo yochal, he should not eat, mishum demoshich le'ad zman iser, he will be drawn over the time of prohibition. V'yisana v'lo yochal. So that is a chiddush, and well, let's go over the main point, that Agrippus features an example, this source features an example of a person who hasn't even reached the actual prohibition time, still he is told, don't eat until darkness. So the Gemara says, E amris bishlamo somoch lemincha ktana tnan. If you say thusly, then things work out. Hainu rabuse d'agribus. This is the novel point, the chiddush, that's communicated by this source, and hence it uses the term afilu at the beginning, even Agrippus, meaning even though we're talking about someone who has not reached the actual time of eating prohibition. Still, there is a restriction. If, however, you say that the basic prohibition is from 12 o'clock already, namely that when looking at the Agrippa story, the prohibition, the official prohibition time has already set in. My Rabuse d'Agrippis. What is the chidush of Agrippus? Chal isur alei meikara. The standard prohibition has already set in from sheish shos. At this point, then, Ravina has what he feels an answer to the question, and that being that the arve psochim. Samach lemincha lo yochal. The samach lemincha is a reference to mincha ketana. Elo. The Gemara now asks a question, though. Elo mai. So, what are you trying to say? Samach lemincha ketana tnan. Are you saying that the prohibition of the Mishnah means samach lemincha ketana? Sof. My rabuse da gripis. What's the big deal with regard to Agrippus? What's special about his case? Ha matyo le zman isura. Before he finishes his meal, the prohibition time is going to kick in. And we have to explain a little more. And it's as follows. We have a note on the inside margin that elaborates on this. With regard to Agrippus, it's true he may be starting before the official prohibition time, but nevertheless, since the meal is planned at the outset to go into the time period after 9 hours, it's as if he's starting after the Zman Iser. Once again, since the meal is planned to go into the Zman of Iser, the time of prohibition, it's as if it's a meal that's started after the time of prohibition sets in. And if that be the case, it's obvious that he should not eat ad she'techshach. So once again, even if you try to say somoch lemincha ketana, the Agrippus story doesn't represent a chidush. It doesn't represent some novel idea. So why does the source say afilu Agrippus? The Gemara answers, mahu detema. I might have thought that Tesha Shos Lagrippus Kearba Shos Ladidon Domi. That his ninth hour is like our breakfast, is like our fourth hour in the morning. For most of the population, people eat during the fourth hour of the day, which we say after 9 o'clock in the morning, that's when most people eat. And as one can easily imagine, eating at 9 o'clock in the morning on Erev Pesach presents no problem whatsoever. So since Agrippus hasn't eaten anything, maybe his 2 o'clock eating is like our 10 in the morning eating and should be all right. And namely that maybe his 2 in the afternoon eating wouldn't impinge whatsoever on his desire to eat matzahs, just like our 10 in the morning our 9 in the morning breakfast has no influence on reducing our desire for the matzah. Well, Kamash Malon, the source informs us that we are not to look at Agrippus' Teisha Shos as our Arba Shos, and therefore It's forbidden for someone in Agrippus' position whose first meal would be at that hour, at the late hour of after 2 o'clock, to plan a meal that will spill over into the prohibition time. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the outside margin. And we should, and also some markings, some triangles. So let's take a look at what we have included as far as the topic heading and structural note. So we've written on the outside margin, Afopi she'ein oichlin be'erev Pesach somuch lemincha, even though there's a restriction of eating somuch lemincha on erev Pesach, mutir lechol dvorim hamegarin lachilo mefatchin te'ovon. It is allowed to eat food items that enhance appetite and increase desire. The triangles, mivneh, we have several names in triangles, and we will refer to minei targimo, yerokos, and yayin. Minei targimo is an expression that Tosfos has two opinions on how to explain it. Yerokos, vegetables, and large quantities of wine. We'll see these things featured in the Gemara. Omar Rav Asi, Avol, even though we said one is not allowed to eat mitesha shos, matbil hu b'mine targimo. Matbil literally means to dip. Most of the eating that was characteristic of the time of the Shas involved taking food items and dipping them in dips. So for our purposes, matbil can mean eat. One is allowed to eat mine targimo from the time period of minamincho lamala. What are minei targimo? So if you glance in the Tosfos on minei targimo quotes the Rashbam and says it's a reference to fruits and meat without bread. But on the other hand, Tosfos doesn't like this pshat and says that it's a reference to, as you can see, says ve'ein mevorchin barim mitzvos ala chamishas minim. So it's a type of cake. Rav Yitzchok, continuing in the Gemara, matbil b'yarki, he would eat vegetables. Tanyo nami hochi, we have a Tanaic source that suggests that mine targimo are eaten erev Pesach, and that they have the power of increasing the appetite. So the source says, Hashamosh matbil bivnei me'ayim v'nosnon lifnei ho'orchim. On Erev Pesach, from min ha'mincho l'malo, the waiter can matbil bivnei me'ayim, which, as we said before, he can eat. This is a, bivnei me'ayim would be types of meat, from organ meat, and also serve it to the guests. V'afal pi she'ein raya l'dovar, even though there's no explicit proof that eating is capable of increasing appetite, zecher ledover, there is a hint to this idea. Shneamar niru lochem nir ve'al tizru el koitzim. To explain this, the Rashbam and the Tosis offer different explanations. We'll glance at the Rashbam to see what is trying to be hinted here in this source. Before doing that, one should just realize the translation. Niru lochem nir has to do with plowing a field, and by plowing the field, you ready it for planting, because and the plowing accomplishes the uprooting of all kinds of weeds and thorns from the field, making it more suitable for cultivation. So the pasuk indicates the need for plowing, and with that, one will avoid the thorns. What does this have to do with our sugya? So if we glance in the Rashbam, V'afal pi she'ein raya l'dover, this Rashbam is found about 6 lines from the end of the page, even though there is no explicit proof, de achila moshechas achila, that eating can in fact draw further eating, meaning that there are some types of eating that can increase appetite. Zecher l'dover yesh k'tsas, there is some type of hint, albeit maybe distant hint, but a hint all the same. Dichtiv. Niru lochem nir. Hera lonu hanavi dugma, the Navi in this pasuk shows us an example, shechorshin es hakarka, that a field, the ground is plowed, kidei lekabel es hazria, in order to receive the planting, the seeds. Vim eino harushen mekabel es hazria, and if it's not plowed, so it doesn't receive the seeds. In other words, the seeds won't develop. Af odom ha'oichel dvorim she'en masbinas odom. So too, if a person eats those kind of foods that don't provide satisfaction, that don't fill up an individual, those foods therefore have a different effect. Poischin b'nei me'ayim u'marchivin asan. They end up expanding the capacity of a person to eat. V'yekabil ha'maychel shel suda achreichein l'teyavon. And he will, after eating these kinds of foods, like we said, the mini targimo or the yarki, they will actually increase appetite for more food later on. Turning back to the Gemara, Rava havashosi chamro kula mali yoma de pischa. Rava drank wine all of Erev Pesach. In other words, he was drinking a large amount of wine, kihechi denigure libe denechol matzot fei leurta, so as to draw his appetite to want to desire matzah even more in the urta, the evening. From where do I know that wine has the capacity of increasing appetite? This not. The Mishnah says as follows, and we're at the top of Kuf Ches, Omid Aleph. The Mishnah, referring to the Seder night and the four cups of wine, it says, Bein HaKoisos Halolu, between the first cup, the cup of the Kiddush, and the second cup that one drinks at the end of the recitation of the bulk of the Haggadah, we'll say, and likewise between the second cup and the third cup. The third cup is the Birchas HaMazon cup. So between these cups, but for our purposes, let's emphasize between the first and second cup. Im rotza lishtois yishteh. If he wants to drink more, he can drink. Bearing in mind that after the second cup, that's the time for the matzah. And nevertheless, it says here that if he wants to drink, he can drink. So he's going to end up having drunk a lot of wine, possibly, before he's come to the matzah. Ben shlishi v'rvi lo yishteh, between the third and fourth cups of the Seder night, he is not to drink. And the reason for that is presented in the Rashbam, because in such a case it looks like he's adding to the number of koisos, and another possibility is that he shouldn't be drunk, and if he gets drunk he won't be able to say the Hallel. The Gemara now comments, or we should say Rovo comments, the E Amris Misad Soyid, if one is to think that wine creates a sense of satisfaction, of fullness and satisfaction, Amai Yishteh, then why should there be an allowance to drink additional cups between the first and second? Ha ka ochil lematzah chilogasil, come to eating the matzah on a full stomach, so to speak, or after he's already completely full. And eating after one is completely full is classified as an achila gasa, which is very undesirable. And we're striving to have one eat the matzah with a sense of desire and appetite. Elo shma mino, so one must conclude that migrar gorir, that wine has the capacity of actually drawing one to an increased appetite, so that by drinking more wine, that doesn't hinder one's appetite, and therefore Rava took the liberties of drinking a lot of wine Erev Pesach without having any fear that it would reduce his desire for the matzah. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.